right, amen. Thank you for a great special, Sister Sherry. Thank you for singing for the Lord, letting us enjoy it. Amen. Again, it's so very good to see you this morning. I'm glad that you're here. Good to be in the Lord's house with you today. If you have your Bibles, turn again to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, the same text that we've used for the last couple of Sundays. We're going to continue to look at some of the things that Paul told Timothy, a young preacher, as he was encouraging him. This is the last writing that we know of that the Apostle Paul made. This is the last of those that are recorded in the Scriptures. And he was giving Timothy encouragement, teaching him, helping him as a young pastor. And he told him in the beginning of this chapter, he told him that be assured that in the last days that perilous times would come. I believe today we're living in the last of the last days. Folk, perilous times are all upon us. They are all about us. It is a word just kind of escaped you to describe the day and the time that we live in. But yet that doesn't take away our hope. That doesn't take away our source of encouragement and our source of the hope that we have in Christ. And remember that that hope is in God. There's where our hope is found. And our resource for the things that God offers us is the Word of God, the Bible. And that's exactly what Paul tells Timothy in these passages that we read in the latter part of this chapter. He tells us to remember what we've always known, remember what we've known even since it's from a child, remember what we've been taught, and we must do that. And as we remember those things, we must even greater trust in them. Put our trust in the Lord and the trust in the Lord's Word and such. And he tells us that, and he encourages us to do that by telling us what the Scriptures will do for us, the things that the Scriptures are. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 16, the passage I hope is familiar to you, we've read it the last two or three weeks, says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, complete, whole, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Let's pray this morning again. Heavenly Father God, we do thank you for your hope and your assurance, your consolation, your comfort, for all that we have in Christ. Lord, I pray as we open your word this morning that we will see again what you offer us in your word. Let us be mindful of it. Let us be more trusting in this. Increase our faith. Lord, grant me preaching grace this morning, and I'll praise you for it. Thank you for those that have come to hear the word. And Lord, we're going to give you the praise. And we're going to ask it all this morning in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The word of God given by inspiration. He oversaw the writing of the word of God. He superintended those men that wrote it. That it might be infallible, inerrant, as it is inspired. I pray that Lord, you'll just that the Lord will just open our hearts and minds to take that in. And it is profitable. It's profitable. It's useful. It's beneficial. It's advantageous. It's instructive. It's what we need. It's what we need to be perfect and thoroughly furnished. The word perfect, again, always remember, it never speaks of sinless perfection. We'll not attain that in life. But it means to be complete and full. To be perfect, thoroughly furnished, means that it will give us everything that we need, as Peter said, for life and godliness. Folk, this morning, the Word of God is our resource to the hope of God. And it's a grand and wonderful thing. We looked last week at the being profitable as Paul gave us the distinct places, areas wherein it would be profitable for reproof, for correction, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. We looked at those, but I want to look for a week or two at some other areas in life that God's Word is profitable and that it is the resource. Not only is it's not a resource, it is the resource. It is the ultimate final authority of everything God has for us as humanity, and it is the final authority for all the things that God has done for us. We may use some study guides. I mentioned last week, we may use some aids, but folk, listen, it is all the Word of God. That is where we find everything we need. Those things of life that we need, they'll fall under the headings of these things that we talk about. They are everything that we need for the understanding and the teaching of God. They're everything that we need for the life that will be pleasing to God and useful for God as we go through our lives in this world and in the hope that we have for the future. I want this morning to look at a subject matter that only God's Word can provide us information about. Only God's Word. Remember this now. Without the Bible, we don't know anything about God because this is where we learn about Him. Without God, we don't know anything about salvation. I'll get to that in a later sermon. Because this is the source. This is the only place that we know about it. And so it's so important. And this topic this morning is very much the same way. I want us to look at today that the Bible, in the Bible, we find everything we know and need concerning prayer. Folk, Paul is addressing Timothy concerning the things that he would encounter, the things that he would need, and the things that he could look to as he came into the last days. Now, Peter, you say, well, did Peter live in the last days? They were days leading up to that, because every day from the time that Christ issued this declaration for the perilous times and last days, every day gets us a day closer to that grand finale when Jesus comes and takes us to be with Him and then prepares the earth and such for the millennial reign of Christ. So did he? In a sense, he did. But not nearly to the extent that we do today, because we're some 2,000 years closer to all of the grand finale of God and to the prophetic calendar of God, which I believe the next major event is the rapture. And we are living, and to me it's so terribly obvious. Read these first the first chapter, the first part of this chapter. We are living in those days. Folk, if there's one thing that we need today desperately for our own hope and encouragement, for ourselves and for others, and for the cause of Christ, we need to be prayer warriors. We need to make prayer a very important part of our service for God. I believe, even though it is often neglected because it's easily done so, Satan will get you distracted when it's time to pray. Satan will interrupt when it's time to pray. Nobody knows if you're praying or not. But prayer is one of the most important and essential aspects and parts of the Christian life, and especially as we live in the last days. Prayer, as defined in the most simple term, is communicating with God. It's talking to God. Sometimes, now prayer, there are some aspects of prayer and some promises of prayer that are just boy, just praise the Lord for them and take them, but I can't fully explain them and such. But I tell you what, we need to pray in these last days. I'm telling you today, we need prayer. We need to make it a part of our life. It is so important that Christ demonstrated it to us. How important is prayer? Over in the book of Luke, chapter 18, verse 1. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Writer Luke is introducing Jesus' statements about prayer. And he said that Jesus spoke a parable unto them, those that were listening, that a man ought always to pray and faint not. Folk, to faint not. If we go through the world today without prayer, without talking to God, communing to God, He has talked to us through His infallible, inspired Word. He talks to us not in an audible voice, but He speaks to us through the working and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And He is there for us. And we must converse with Him. And as we do that, He tells us that we must always pray. We ought always to pray and faint not. If we try to go through life, dealing with life, dealing with the trials of life, the discouragements in life, the heartbreaks of life, the things that discourage us and frustrate us and such, if we try to just deal with those on our own and we try to address them of our own resources, I'll tell you what we will do. We will indeed, as the Word says, faint, which means to fall away, means to become discouraged and overwhelmed. Don't try to do it by yourself. You pray about it. You pray about it. You talk to God about it. Over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, Paul tells the church at Thessalonica the importance of prayer, when he says, very simply, pray without ceasing. Now, this doesn't mean you have to spend every waking moment in prayer. Obviously, that's not practical. That's not something that we can do. But I tell you what, prayer ought to be so much a routine of our life. It must be so much a part of our life as we go through life. It must be a part of our lifestyle. It must be a part of our Christian walk. As we go through life, we must pray without ceasing. Too many times people will pray when trials come. Too many times they'll wait until there's difficulty in life and they'll pray. Folk, don't do that. Let prayer be a very, very much a part of every day of your life. I love what Paul told the church at Ephesus. I'm going to turn and read that so I don't misquote it here. In Ephesians chapter 6, and listen to what Paul tells us there. Find it here. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, this is a great summary about prayer, okay? Paul says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. The question's been asked sometimes, what's the difference in prayer and supplication? To me, and you look the words up and you study them, supplication is a prayer that maybe is of a little more urgent matter. Maybe something that's more pressing at the moment. And so we let us pray about everything. Folk, nothing in your life, nothing in your life is too insignificant for prayer. You can't say, well, you know, I always try to pray about those major things. I always try to pray about when something serious comes along, and that's good, but I tell you what, do. Pray about everything. It's what we're just told by the Word of God. And folk, when we get discouraged, something happens and whatever it might be, just anything. Our feelings are hurt, or our trials are coming, and they're of no making of our own. Pray about it. Pray about it. Let God take care of it. Let God help us with it. You know, get up every day. Pray. Pray about it. Pray about what? The day. Pray about what may come your way. Pray about what you might encounter that day. Pray that, you know, we'll see some examples of that. Pray about everything. Pray about everything. Folk, I make a pretty bold statement here. Without prayer, as a child of God, we, self-included, all Christians, without prayer, a child of God will never be everything they could be nor should be. There will always be a lacking when we're not praying, when we're not talking to God. You say, well, how do we pray? How do we really commune with God? Let's look at the best example that we can find. Turn in your Bible back over to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, this is part of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is teaching us in the Sermon on the Mount. Sometimes I think we need to study the Sermon on the Mount about once a year, just to be reminded. It's Christ's introductory message to his earthly ministry. And in this, he teaches us, he encourages us, he just gives us all of this. In Matthew chapter 6, chapter 6, beginning in verse 9. I'll get it here. And actually, let's back up to verse 6. We find what is called the Lord's Prayer. Now, it's called that not by the Bible. That's just what it's become known as in among us, all right? The Lord's Prayer. And it is indeed a prayer of the Lord. And it's a great prayer, but it's also basically, it's more of a model prayer. It's a teaching prayer to teach us how to pray. And that's exactly what he says. So let's back up go back actually to verse 5. Jesus is teaching us how to pray. There's a right way to pray. All right? Now, sometimes the setting calls, you know, just cry out to God. But listen to the way to the model to pattern your prayer life after. In verse 5, he begins by telling us how not to pray. He says, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites. Hypocrite's a strong word. It from the Greek, it comes from a word that means it was used in the theater such as that. It's when one person portrays himself as someone else, like an actor does, all right? But a hypocrite, when it comes to spiritual things, is one that puts on a facade of Christianity. Now, we're going to use the Pharisees as an example here because they did these things. But, folk, we don't want to be a hypocrite. A hypocrite is one that claims to be something that he is not. A hypocrite is one that claims to be something in their outward speech, but they don't live the life, okay? And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues, in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. The Pharisees were noted for this. They'd get out into the marketplace and they'd get out on a busy intersection, a busy street corner, and there they would begin to offer their prayers and such to God. Because they wanted people to know how spiritual they were. They wanted the people to know how prayerful they were and how much emphasis they put on prayer. Folk, listen, if you'll do it the right way, we'll get to it in just a second, you won't have to stand on the street corner. It'll be noticeable. Folks will see it in your life. You'll see it in your life. It says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, into that private place. Get away from everything. Get away from everybody. Don't take your cell phone with you in your prayer closet, all right? Because I promise you, if you do, Satan will see to it somebody sends you a text. It'll ring. It may be just wanting to extend your car warranty, but it'll ring. Get in that prayer closet. Get in that private place. Who knows where it may be? And when thou hast shut the door, shut out everything else, you pray to the Father, which is in secret. Not that he's hiding something or some secret, but in a private way. You get alone with God. Get alone with God and you pray to the Father who is in secret. And the Father which seeth in secret or private shall reward thee openly. Your prayers may be just between you and God, and most of all of our prayers should be. Just between you and God. But folk, what you and God can discuss privately, I'll promise you, from the Word of God, from Jesus Christ Himself, He will reward thee openly. Amen. It'll just come and you'll see it. I'm telling you, there's not, and I'll speak from personal experience. There's just not much better than to have prayed about something, and now we'll talk about vain reputation in a minute, but folk, you pray, you don't just, you got a burden on your heart, you pray about it, take to God every day. And there's not anything better when you've prayed about it, and you've prayed about it, and God just dumps it in your lap. I've seen that in my life. I've seen that in some pretty, for lack of a better word, major things that I was praying about in life. It is so great and wonderful. When you pray, verse 7, real quickly, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. All those Pharisees would get out on, and they just repeat themselves over and over and over and over again. I've heard public prayers like that. No, listen. When you pray, I'm talking about how to pray. And let's kind of make a summation, and I'll get into some more of it here. When you pray, just talk to God. Talk to Him with humility and reverence and respect. But don't forget that Paul in Hebrews said you can come boldly into the throne of grace. You can be bold and humble at the same time. And that's the way we got to be when we pray. You just be bold, talk to God, tell Him what's on your heart. You don't have to pray any theological prayer. You don't have to repeat this Lord's Prayer. It's good to repeat it maybe to teach our young people and such, but folk, it is a teaching prayer. But get the principles up. Just talk to God. You know, sometimes the only thing it seems like you can do is say, God, I'm scared. God, I don't know what to do. God, I don't know how to deal with this. I don't know how to, God, just help me. Folks, that's the kind of prayers that God will hear and answer. That's the kind of prayers that He wants you to do. And vain repetition does not mean not to pray about something over and over and over. He tells us to be persistent in our prayer in other passages. Folks, listen. There are things I pray about every day. Things I pray about every day. The same thing. Every day. Because They're a burden on my heart every day. There's a need every day. He tells us to do that. Verse 9, He says, but after this manner, therefore, pray ye. And He gives us what we call the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, go to the right source. Nobody else that you need to pray to. We pray to God the Father, in the name of, by the authority given us by Jesus Christ. That's why we say in Jesus' name. that is an appropriate closing and opening to a prayer. Because we're praying by His authority. He authorized us to do that, as He teaches us right here in this prayer and in many other teachings. How, folk, what is the value of prayer? We talked about the value of things last week. Folk, the value of prayer, you can't put a value on it. It's invaluable. It's worth more than we could ever imagine. But go to the right source. Pray to God. Now, there are religions that pray to others. There are others, even in so-called mainstream religion, that pray to and through others. Folk, listen. They're vain repetitions. They're spinning their wheels. They're not getting anything. Folk, listen. Go to the source. Go to the source. Go to the hope. Go to the one who can hear and answer our prayers. Our Father, who art in heaven. We know where He is. Approach Him. Not one, it's somewhere else. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. That is a statement of respect and reverence. Hallowed be Thy name. Folk, listen. When we come before God, even when we're coming boldly because we have just a burden that's overwhelming us, when we have that, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. I'm telling you what, we can come boldly, but come with ultimate respect and reverence for Him. Come in a way that you come before Him humbly, and just, I'm telling you, one thing I try to do every time I pray is thank God for the opportunity and the privilege that He has given me to talk to Him. What a privilege! Hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Wouldn't it be great if we could have on this earth the nature and the way things are in heaven? Ooh, wouldn't that be great? Because in heaven there's no sin, there's no temptation, there's no sickness, and there's no sorrow, there's no heartache, there's no crying, there's no more offense, there's no more in all of the former things. And so, well, we know that's not ever going to happen, Brother Sid. Why don't we pray for that? It's going to happen when Jesus reigns in Jerusalem in the millennial. And folk, listen, I believe, now I know God's got a timetable, I know God has a plan, I know He has everything laid out to the jot and tittle, that's exactly the way He wants it. You say, well, if that be the case, why do we need to pray for it? To let Him know we're ready for it. To let Him know that we look forward to things that are better. Let Him know that we long for that, that we desire that. Folk, I'm telling you today, with all my heart and genuineness, folk, today I wish Jesus would come this morning before we finish this service. As I always say, if He does, I pray nobody's left to turn off the light. Do you know Christ is your Savior this morning? If you don't, you're not ready for His kingdom to come, but you can get ready by accepting Christ. Thy kingdom come. I want the things of this old earth and that new heaven and new earth that we're going to have, and this earth under the reigning and the leadership and the theocracy of Jesus Christ. Folk, it's going to be the way God wants it. It's going to be the way He meant for it to be. It's going to be like it was in the Garden of Eden before Adam partook of the forbidden fruit. Don't exactly understand all that, but I'm telling you what, I long for that. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. If God's will was done in earth as it is in heaven, there wouldn't be any crime, there wouldn't be any heartache, all of those things. We could go on and on. A detailed study of this, and we could study this Lord's Prayer for days and days. A detailed study of this will give you a glorious teaching about how to pray. But I tell you what it'll do. It'll also give you a glorious teaching about what we can anticipate. He says, give us this day our daily bread. Pray for the needs in your life. That's all. That's what He's speaking of. Not just food. Pray for the needs in your life. They may be physical needs. They may be spiritual needs. They may be emotional needs. They may be who knows what kind of need. But that's what He's telling us to do. After we have honored Him, we have hallowed His name, we have prayed for His will to be done. I always say this, and this is a little, I think, somewhat original with me. You pray for exactly what you want. willing to accept God's will if it's different than what you want. Because it might be. Your will be done. Pray for your will be done. That very statement is something that sometimes we need to use in prayer. I'll use in prayer. Lord, and I'll tell him the situation. Lord, just, I don't know how to think about it. Your will be done. Desire that and be willing to accept that. You say, well, what if it doesn't go the way you want it? If it's God's will, make it the way you want it, all right? That's what he tells us to do. Thy will be done. Give us this day our daily bread. Ask for the things you need. Put your petitions before God. You pray before God and say, Lord, help me with this. Pray for your daily needs, whatever they are. And folk, we have daily needs that need our daily prayers. Pray for these. Note what he says there. Give us this day our daily bread. Don't worry about tomorrow. Pray, God, take care of today. Help me through today. And then when he does, you get up in the morning, start again. Lord, give me this day my daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Some of the writers of the Gospels use the word trespass. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lord, forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of my sin as I forgive others who have sinned against me. How important is that? Skip down to verse 14. He says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. How important is it that we forgive? Folks, if we carry a grudge, we carry a resentment against someone because of something they've done or something that's been done to us, if we're not willing to forgive, God he's not obligated to forgive us. Now, folks, listen. You say, well, you don't know what somebody did to me. You don't understand. No, but God does. You don't, and in the flesh, forgiveness is sometimes hard to come by. But with God's help and God's prayer, we can forgive. Now, people will say, oh, you've got to forgive and forget. Well, you'll never forget. You won't forget. Bible doesn't say that, by the way. That's just an old saying. But you can forgive, and when you forgive, you are in a position to be forgiven. So we must pray that. Forgive us our debt. Ask God to forgive you. Here's something I think that's important. You ask God to forgive you. And ask him to forgive me, Lord, for this that I have done today. Too many times we pray too general. Lord, forgive us our sin. Now that is an acceptable prayer in one aspect. But when the Holy Spirit calls to your mind that thought, that action, that deed, that something, and he calls it to your mind while you're praying, folk, listen. That's the Holy Spirit working, and when he calls it to your mind, you say, and Lord, forgive me for doing whatever it was today. Maybe you have to pray, Lord, forgive me for not taking advantage of that opportunity to witness to that person today. Lord, forgive me. We sin specifically, pray for forgiveness specifically, okay? We really do need to do that. We need to pray for forgiveness. As we are forgiving. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Why do we need to pray about that? Because I'm telling you, you that'll be here faithfully on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, you that'll be in God's house on a holiday weekend, and obviously for whatever reason, and I know there's some sickness in our congregation and such, but I'm telling you what, you that are faithful are going to be the one that Satan tries his best through temptation to get you to falter. He'll try to get you discouraged. He'll try to get you down and out. He'll try to get you to do something you shouldn't. He'll try to get you not to do something that you should. And I'm telling you, we need to pray, God, shield us. God, lead us not in temptation. God will never lead you into temptation. James tells us that, a temptation to do something evil. But what he's saying in this is, God, you keep that temptation from me. Now remember this, temptation is not sin. When you are tempted of Satan in some way, Satan by observation knows your areas of weakness. And when you are tempted by Satan in some way, there's no sin there. The sin comes when you yield to that temptation and you do what Satan has tempted you to do. That's temptation. Yield not to that. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. Folk, today when we pray, ask God to just take the distractions, take the temptations, take the things that would cause us to fall into evil in some way, and just blot them out and put them behind you. That's how to pray. That's how we pray. Folk, I want you to look at the world that we live in today, where evil is rampant. Evil is all about us. We are engulfed by it. The temptation of sin and Satan is before us all of the time. Everywhere we turn, it's all over the place. It's through the... You don't have to watch an ungodly TV show. Watch the news. Evil is blatantly before us. Folks, we better pray to God. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil that we might overcome. Because you in the flesh cannot overcome it by yourself. You're going to have God's help. We'll get to that a little later. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then acknowledge God for who He is, for whom He is, and for what He is and what He does. For thine is the kingdom. Folk, there is only one true everlasting kingdom, and that is God's kingdom. There are kingdoms throughout the world today. We call them political governments. The United States, China, Russia. Those are the three major powers in the world today. There's hundreds and hundreds of others. Folk, let me tell you, the day is going to come when all of those kingdoms bow down before Jesus Christ, and they are going to acknowledge His kingdom. They're going to acknowledge that He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. He tells us in that passage right there, for thine is the kingdom. Recognize God's kingdom as the one and the only and above all others. Let us give our allegiance to God and to Jesus and to the kingdom yet to come. Yet we are a part of His kingdom even today, but that eternal kingdom, that millennial kingdom, folk, there is where we need to pledge our allegiance. Now, I'm not telling you not to pledge an allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. Let's be faithful to her. But folk, listen. This old kingdom of the United States of America is going to falter. And it's going headlong in that direction right now. But the kingdom of God, it is God's kingdom. Thine is the kingdom and the power. The word there is dunamos. Exousia, power, means authority. This word is dunamos. It's the word we get dynamite from. Folk, the power, God's forgiving power, God's loving grace and mercy power, God's power to control everything, God's power to speak creation into existence, God's power to take care of the things that we have in our hearts and our lives today, God's power, it's His today. Folk, that is the power I want to be a part of. That's the power I want to live under. For thine is the power and the glory of God. Oh, heard people talk about back to kingdoms. Oh, the glory days of the United States when we were strong and powerful and godly. Oh, the glories days of things, whatever it might be. Folk, let me tell you where the glory's at. It's in God. How do we pray? Just like that. Just like that. We pray. Folk, I'm telling you, Jesus gave us this model prayer. Now, we're not done talking about prayer, okay? But there's a spot we'll stop.